Welcome to Nothing Is Real, a podcast about the Beatles. Everybody thinks they know the Beatles, but how much do you really know? This is an introductory episode, an episode zero, so to speak, where we're going to introduce ourselves, talk a little bit about why we are doing this, and give you an idea of what we're going to be talking about on future podcasts. My name is Jason Carty.
My name is Stephen Cockcroft.
And I guess the germ of this podcast goes back a couple of months because myself and Stephen were at the Dublin Beatles Festival in November 2018. And after many hard years of slog, we finally won the coveted title of
Beatle Brain of Ireland.
Beatle Brain of Ireland. And at that point, it seems like there's no more mountains left to climb. What do men of a certain age do with all this arcane knowledge? And the answer is obviously start a podcast. And there is a lot of Beatle podcasts out there, and there's a lot of great Beatle podcasts out there. But what we kind of wanted to do was talk about the Beatles from our own personal perspective and try and draw together a few little ideas about the Beatles that we've kind of had in private conversation. I mean, we want to give you a little bit of an idea about ourselves. We are broadcasting or recording in Dublin, and but we're obviously going to try and go worldwide, just like the Beatles did themselves. And in order to get a... Whenever I meet somebody who likes the Beatles, Stephen, I like to know why they like the Beatles or how they encountered the Beatles. So how did you encounter the Beatles?
How did I encounter the Beatles? Well, first of all, I suppose I should let everyone know I'm a lot older than you are.
you're still not a real-time first-generation
I'm not Beatle a real-time first-generation, no. But I'm a lot older than Jason is. My first memory of encountering the Beatles is the film Help, or specifically the last 3 or 4 minutes of the film Help, where the Beatles, and plot spoiler, they're running down a beach being chased by a man with a knife. but I remember sitting in front of my parents' black and white television watching that. For some reason, bizarrely, although the song wasn't in the film, I also associate that with the single I Feel Fine. So I'm assuming I heard that on the radio. I would guess I was maybe 8 or 9 years old at the time. And at that stage, the only records, the only music in our house would have been the Irish staples, the Jim Reeves albums. The
Perry Como.
The Perry Como, yeah. That type. Then we got a K-Tel 50s rock and roll. And that's really the first record I remember sort of engaging me. Then I discovered that in addition to being film stars, the Beatles had records. And on a shopping trip with my mother, I persuaded her to buy me a collection of oldies, which is the 1966 compilation of the early singles. And I've never looked back.
Never looked back. And now you've got 2 or 3 Beatles records.
Now I've got 2 or 3 Beatles records, and I'm on a podcast.
2 or 3 roomfuls of Beatles records. Yeah, I guess I would have been the same age. I was about 8 or 9, and I remember vividly... This would have been like early mid-80s, and vividly being on a holiday and seeing a bit of footage on a television in a restaurant, which in retrospect I realised was the Beatles at Shea. And I remember saying to my dad, "Who's that?" And he was like, "That's the Beatles." And I was like, "That's the Beatles?" I'd heard the name, but I'd never seen them. And this thing just looked like it had come from space. And I was watching this thing for a few minutes, and then after a minute or two, I'm like, "Paul McCartney was in the Beatles?" Because Paul McCartney was just a pop star to me.
Yeah.
And I thought, how amazing must it be if Paul McCartney is in this band? If there's 4 Paul McCartneys in a band, how good would that band be?
And but that was the early 80s.
That was the early 80s when Paul was in his last
imperial
spasm
phase
of pop top 5 hits. But then, kind of like what you say, in that kind of kid way, I got a Beatles album and then didn't buy any more Beatles albums for years. You kind of think, well, I've got some Beatles records.
Yeah, I think I was in primary school when I got that record, and I don't recall buying anything else until I was in big school. but by that stage, I kind of met a couple of like-minded people, and I sort of discovered the Beatles were a band that had only broken up 5 years previously.
Yeah.
So there was, when I was started to buy the records, there was every possibility that the Beatles were going to get back together.
Yes, they were all still feet on terra firma.
They were all still going. They were having hit records. I mean, I suppose really 1975, 1976 was when I really started becoming aware of the fact that they had a solo existence and they were releasing records. And I mean, McCartney obviously was in the charts, and Lennon not so much, Ringo by that stage not at all, George not really. And I started buying the back catalog, the Beatles back catalog, you know, £2 or £3 for an LP. Those are the days.
And I remember, yeah, I remember I kind of came along later. So like in the 80s, there was no more Beatles, and you know, which is sad. And but I remember a big influence was the kind of 20th anniversary of Pepper, and then all the CDs. Like, kind of the big thing I got was Christmas 88. I got the White Album and Lewison's Studio Sessions book, which as a twofer is enough.
That's a good start.
Yeah, I bought them for a long car journey, and that's a good way to kind of.
That's a big piece of a jigsaw falling into place. Learning that.
It makes a lot of sense that was my reading as a kid. That it seemed interesting, but you know that the Beatles were as much fun to learn about as they were to listen to. There's an awful lot going on there.
I think there was really an element of that for me as well. That it was as much about reading about them. Yeah. You know, once you there aren't that many albums. So once you've got the albums, where do you go? You kind of look at the solo stuff, but it's about getting books. It's about reading around the background. And certainly in the late 70s, I mean, the Beatles were desperately unfashionable.
Yeah.
And the Beatles were also my jumping off point for so many other bands, because you start with the Beatles and then I discovered, well, you've got the Stones, you've got the Who, you've got the Kinks, then you've got Bob Dylan. Then you've got the Birds, that leads you into San Francisco, Jefferson Airplane. Yep. And so if you looked at any time since I started buying records, the top left-hand corner of the record shelf, or the CD shelf, is always the Beatles. And their records and CDs not filed in any alphabetical or chronological order, but it always starts with the Beatles and then sort of trickles down into the Stones and 60s bands, etc.
And it's interesting, in the late, like when I was getting into them in the late 80s, you know, part of me was kind of vexed that, oh, I wasn't around for it. And now here we are another 30 years down the line, and it seems like podcasts like this and other podcasts, it seems to be something that can be constantly mined for information. I know I've said this to you before, it's like the Gospels weren't written until 40 years after Jesus died.
Controversial.
And now people are, you know, writing the books about the Beatles, particularly Lewison's massive books about the Beatles, where they're trying to nail this thing down. The more time it gets, the perception of it just changes completely.
I see you as John the Baptist to Lewison's.
Right. So I get beheaded.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Now, when we were talking about doing this podcast, there's a couple of things that you could almost say are kind of the spirit animal of the podcast. But one thing that I wanted to mention...
Really covering all the religious bases.
I'm trying to upset everybody. But one thing I really wanted to mention was Rob Sheffield's book, Dreaming the Beatles, because this is a fantastic book.
I don't think I've ever read it.
You are responsible for many people in our orbit reading it. And I think it was Christmas a year or two ago when I first read it, and I've read it three times now. So Dreaming the Beatles, for people who haven't read it, how would you describe it?
I agree with you. First of all, it is a fantastic book. It's one of my favourite books, and I've read a few about the Beatles. What I like about this is it's a completely different take. It doesn't come at it from the sort of Lewison... you know, the minute detail of their everyday life. It's not a song by song, album by album review. It's really about his relationship with the band and the band's relationship with the world. And I think his experience of discovering the Beatles is very similar to my own, and I think that's what sort of chimed with me. And I thought, well, I don't know how old he is or when this was happening, but it's the personal relationship with the band that comes across. It's also extremely well written. I mean, he writes very, very well and really draws you in. And there's the sense you get, and I suppose maybe it's something that we might aspire to on the podcast, is persuading you or showing you that there's more to the band than the records, than the chart placings, than the statistics, than the recording detail.
Yes, and I think. You know, it's kind of part of this current wave of Beatle books. I mean, the title of it, Dreaming the Beatles, the thing I liked about it was he's obviously, like many Beatle fans, he's been listening for decades at this point. There's lots of facts and emotions and experiences bouncing around his head related to the band, and then he tries to draw them all together. But you know, the things that, you know, stick out from the book are, it's a very funny book as well.
He's very totally
he totally tears into McCartney's My Love, into George's version of it, of In My Life, but he's very matter of fact about things like, you know, why were the Beatles taking LSD with their dentist? Yeah. You know, John and Paul started bands with their wives. Mick Jagger wouldn't have done that. And, you know, there's loads of times when you're reading this book and you're going, you're right.
Yeah.
This is totally good. So
these are obvious questions, but no one has asked them before.
No one has asked them before. So I kind of like the way the book took this kind of jumble of a, you know, a life led with the Beatles in your head. And, you know, what does it mean to kind of take all that information and organize it a little bit? And I think, yeah, if we can get to some kind of aspect of that, that'd be something that'd be nice to achieve.
I think that's a laudable ambition.
Laudable. So thank you, Rob Sheffield, for writing that book. And I think there's also been some podcasts that we like listening to as well. You know, people who kind of talk about the Beatles and who are, you know, try and present things to you all in an organised and thoughtful fashion. And to that end, I thought we might just kind of tell you about some of the things we want to talk about on this podcast in upcoming weeks. So we're going to start by looking at, you know, maybe some of the unlauded Beatle albums, Help and Magical Mystery Tour. How come they are not popular Beatle albums? Other topics we're going to look at is, and this is in no particular order, The Last Beatles Session in January 1970.
Mm-hmm.
That's an odd one. Why did that happen? How did that happen? What did it mean? Could it have meant something else? We think it might be interesting to look at the first and last songs recorded for each album. What does that tell us about where the Beatles were at, what they were doing? Looking at extraneous Beatles, sixth Beatles, seventh Beatles, you know, George Martin's place is locked down, but, you know, where do we rank other people like Mal Evans and Jimmy Nicol, all those types of people? Looking at the Beatles anthology, because that's going to be, it's coming up on a quarter century, and I think it might be time to recontextualize a little bit about what that's all about. The Beatles box sets, both the ones that have come out, the White Album and Sgt. Pepper, and what we expect to happen in the future. And hopefully we can stay on top of those. Beatle history counterfactuals. What ifs, the big what ifs. What would it mean if, I guess we could tie this into that Yesterday movie that we're both looking forward to.
We're both looking forward to that immensely.
Yes. What else have I got? You've Songs with Beatles Missing, I have on this list.
Songs of Beatles Missing?
Songs of Beatles Missing, like Back in the USSR, Ballad, John Yoko, Within You, Without You, which have 3, 2, and 1 Beatles. What do they mean? What do they carry that other songs don't? And how come the Beatles couldn't reach Beatle heights when they were Fabs when 1 were, and 2
that
in their solo years?
Yes.
Which I think is an interesting question.
Even with other Beatles present?
Yes. Yeah, it just never was the same.
Never worked.
I've written on my list here 70s Beatles, which I call Schrodinger's Beatles because they're simultaneously alive and dead in the 70s.
Excellent.
Which was an odd time, as you've touched upon there, to be a Beatles fan. You know, you have things like the Sgt. Pepper Broadway show and movie and all this in World War II. And
have you seen the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't recommend that.
Yeah. The Beatles at Christmas, the solo Beatles at Christmas. This is my favourite suggestion of yours. Songs the Beatles wrote about each other.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes, that's a bit of a cottage industry that they...
I have a list.
Beatle movies, breaking down the Beatle movies. I've written down the George Harrison argument. That'll be a good one.
There is no argument.
Well, I mean, I think for the record, we need to state that I would be very much have my flag in Team Paul.
And you have your flag into
flag,
Paul.
Yes, well, it says Team Paul.
You have your pointed stick into Paul, whereas everyone knows George is the best Beatle.
And if you think you'd like to hear us argue about that for an hour, then...
This is the place for you.
You really need to sign up where you get all your podcasts. A pro-Yoko podcast.
I'm on board for that.
Because Yoko is possibly the most misunderstood person of all.
She possibly the fifth Beatle.
And, geez, that's most of... contemporaneous songs mentioning the Beatles as well. I think that's an interesting thing. The Monkees, Randy Scousgate, and all those kind of things.
Sissy Spacek.
What was that? Oh, yeah, she sang the...
John, you've gone too far.
So
why we're talking about Yoko...
And we kind of want to keep it, if there's something contemporaneous happening that we think we can plug into the podcast, then we'll do that. Just to break it up, you know, we will approach solo careers. I think, you know, we should talk about the Wings box set that came out recently.
The George box sets.
The George box sets, the John box sets.
The George box sets.
But mainly the Paul box sets. And we're not adverse to having special guests. If there's anybody...
If Paul is listening.
If Paul wants to come in, that's absolutely fine. But we're you know, we're generally hoping to do this as a two-header between myself and Stephen, but if anybody wants to come in and join the party, we'll be happy to talk to them if they're a member of the Beatles Club.
Or a member of the Beatles.
Well, that'd be absolutely super. I think that kind of covers our introduction.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. We would love if you would subscribe to us wherever you normally get your podcasts, whether it's, I don't know, iTunes or Overcast or Spotify, whatever it is that you, or Stitcher, whatever you want to do. Sign up for Nothing Is Real, the Beatles podcast. We also, like, is the want of all these things, we'd like you to get in touch with us. So we're on Twitter at BeatlesPod. Follow us. We'll update you about when we're releasing stuff, what we're releasing, and you can communicate with the two of us. See what I did there? About any of the issues that come up in the podcast. So that's where our head is at, and the kind of things that we're going to be talking about and the approach we're going to take on this podcast.
Yeah, I think the intention is that we will do a fortnightly release covering the topics that Jason has outlined. If there's something else that people would like us to talk about, some other topic that we haven't thought of, something you'd like us to explore, like us to talk more about George, less about Paul, just get in touch. And we look forward to getting your feedback on Twitter.
Thanks very much. Don't forget to subscribe and contact us on @BeatlesPod via Twitter. See you next time.